baptismal rituals, we take a special moment to repeat the precious name of the person being baptized. In a world that seems to be obsessed with who is right and who is wrong, who is good and who is bad, who is in and who is out, who is on this side or who is on that side, it is indeed a radical endeavor to name each person as child of God, as this song does, no matter what people say. Church, how will we be agents of God's justice, demanding that the barriers to worth and dignity of all people be brought down so that all might know God's love?
No matter what people say, or think about me, I am a child, I am a child of God. No matter what people say, think about you. You are a child. You are a child of God.
So, what are we going to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? God didn't spare God's own Son, but gave Him up for us all. Won't God also freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect people? It is God who acquits them. Who is going to convict them? It is Christ Jesus who died, even more, who was raised, and who is also at God's right side. It is Christ Jesus who also pleads our cause for us. Who will separate us from Christ's love? Will we be separated by trouble or distress or harassment or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, we are being put to death all day long for your sake. We are treated like sheep for slaughter. But in all these things, we win a sweeping victory through the one who loved us. I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not life or death, not angels or rulers, not present things or future things, not powers or height or depth or anything that is created.
No matter what the world says or thinks about me, I am a child, I am a child of God.
Life-giving God, may I speak a word of hope into someone's spirit today, extolling the promise and the potential offered in each new rising sun. May I speak a word of joy into someone's spirit today, illuminating their worth, beauty, and blessing just as they are. May I speak a word of victory into someone's spirit today, reminding them that they carry within themselves a power greater than evil. May I speak a word of love into someone's spirit today, freely offering the agape of God without condition. May I speak a word of peace into someone's spirit today, offering the quiet strength of restraint over retort. As I prepare to offer these gifts of the Spirit, may I recall that I cannot offer what I do not have. Therefore, may hope, joy, victory, love, and peace reside within me as well. Amen.
No matter what the church says, decisions, pronouncements on you, you are a child, you are a child of God, and there is nothing or no someone. You are family, and you are meant to be a child of God. Oh, you are a child of God.
Amen, amen, amen. Now, friends, turn to thinking this morning that you are a child of God. I wish I could stand before you this week or, well, in fact, any week and tell you how closely I resemble the life of Jesus. But the truth is, more often than I'd like to acknowledge or admit it, my life misses that holy target. But I can stand before you this morning and say that in one way, I'm exactly like Jesus. I have never been a parent. Now, with the throng of nieces and nephews that I help raise, I sure wish some of them were here, but I sure feel like a parent sometimes. But I can't say with authenticity that I know the feeling of either having a child biologically or raising a child day in and day out. So try as I might to be super aunt, I am on the outside looking in with regard to parenting. And part of what I observe is this, outside looking in. Parenting is tough. It's the toughest job I know, and it is the most important job I know. For we all can testify that how we were raised, good and bad, has affected us as adults, has it not? And I think we can all agree that no matter how good our parents were, and I had a couple good ones, one of whom's here with us this morning, but no matter how good or bad they were, we can all agree there's a little baggage we bring with us from our parents. I bring this need to be productive and to make everyone aware of how productive I am, Peggy. And I bring this yearning to have perfect work. And that can be a heavy load sometimes. I wonder what baggage you might have inherited from your upbringing. If we rely on Scripture as we claim to do, we can find the perfect, holy example for our living, and parenting is no different. For even though among countless lessons that Jesus taught us, He could not give us a personal example of parenting because He had no children Himself, we do get an example of parenting. And that example should matter to all of us, whether or not we have children ourselves. It should matter, if for no other reason, that because we are here, because we were born ourselves, we are a product of human reproduction. So we are a child of someone. Travis could never find his way. Adopted as an infant, he yearned to find his biological parents. His adoptive parents were so excited to get him, but not as excited to raise him. Especially when it was discovered fairly early in Travis's life that he was different. And sure enough, over time, Travis came out as gay, and he was rejected by the parents who pretended all they wanted was a child to love and nurture. Travis yearned for parents and family that would celebrate and embrace him. Travis yearned to feel like a child of someone. Susan's parents always seemed angry, stressed. Both parents working to make ends meet, and the ends rarely met. The financial challenges brought stress to the marriage, which finally ended in divorce. Susan now tossed from one parent's house to the other, with neither house feeling like a home. Susan yearned for stability and a sense of belonging. Susan yearned to feel like a child of someone. Donald wanted to be a good parent but had no role model himself, or so he thought. His biological parents were never married, and his father never came around. His mother, looking to be loved herself, seemed to move from one man to another. So Donald had seemed lost from early childhood, and now he had children of his own. What Donald knew is that he did not want to repeat the mistakes of his own parents. Donald yearned to feel like a child of someone. And Donald yearned to make his children feel loved. Ellen was the model of a perfect Christian mother. She juggled to make sure things at home were sort of in the picture of Norman Rockwell. Kids involved in church, a rock-solid marriage, well-respected in the community. Until Ellen's oldest son became a drug addict, a thief, a liar, the talk of the small town. Under pressure, Ellen joined the town chorus who loudly judged her son. And her son, well, he joined the homeless streets until the day he overdosed. Ellen learned too late the value of unconditional love and the cost of conforming to society's expectations. Friends, do you know any of these people? Have you ever encountered a Travis whose parents rejected him because he didn't fit the mold that they had created for him? Have you ever met a Susan who moved from childhood into adulthood, confused and looking for love in all the wrong places? How about a Donald? Stressed completely out about being the perfect parent in spite of his own experience. Ellen? Have you ever met an Ellen? Or her drug-addicted son? Drowned by society's expectations in such a way that real pain has to be ignored or hidden until it literally takes a precious life. What these folks have in common is a yearning to be loved. A deep embedded longing in their souls. A belief and a feeling that nothing could ever come between parent and child. Our scripture lesson this morning is from the Apostle Paul. Paul's writing to Rome. He's writing to Gentiles who've been denied access to the church and who are powerless in the Roman political community. And he's writing to Jews who have been conquered over and over again. And upon their return some years later, the Jewish community assumed that they would just pick up where they left off. Not so much. Their homes were no longer there. Their jobs were gone. Their religious temples destroyed. And their political power, well, it was non-existent. Some of the Jewish folks did still have some rank. So Paul was writing to them as well, telling them, don't get too full of yourselves. Be careful not to exclude others. Don't appear like you have all the answers. In this group of people that would read Paul's letter to Rome, once again we find people whose lives had not turned out quite like they expected. They expected to retain their land and their rights. They didn't. The Gentiles expected to be accepted into the Christian community without the requirement of Jewish rituals, of circumcision and food laws. They weren't. The early believers had risked everything to follow Jesus, their Messiah. And what happened? He was crucified. And now, here's this guy, Paul. Oh, Paul. I have a love-hate relationship with Paul. Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament. Remember, friends, at one time, he was one of the worst of Christian persecutors. He had a long, long list. But here, Paul is writing to folks like our Travis, or Susan, or Donald, and Ellen. Folks who seem to be tossed about with little hope and a mixed match of problems. Between the exiled Jews and the churches that were full of Gentiles, Paul's speaking to folks who just can't seem to figure out how to coexist. Any of that happening in our world today, friends? He's speaking to folks who want to draw lines and give their judgments as to who's in and who's out. And moving into this powerful, powerful scripture, Paul, another fatherless advisor as far as we know, gives holy parenting instruction not only to the Jews and the Gentiles trying to get along, but to all of us, friends. Paul lays out very clearly something that we can't do nothing about. And my PhDs in English, I know that was not good grammar. Try as we might, we can't do nothing about this. We are a child of God. And we cannot do one blessed thing about that. Amen. Oh, you say, I don't want to change that, Pastor. But we do try to act out in different ways, don't we? Do we always act like children of God? Do we always love the stranger, or for that matter, even our own family and friends? Do we always forgive those who hurt us? Or for that matter, even the innocent mistake made one to another? Do we try to find a hint of common ground from which to bud or rebuild a relationship? And do we, when we see exclusion and oppression and injustice, do we follow in the example of Jesus to stand up? Remembering that Jesus himself turned the tables over in the temple in disgust? Do we extend grace to each other? Just a little grace? Instead of jumping to unfair conclusions which cause inner turmoil and divisions? Brothers and sisters, do we always behave as children of God? This is what Paul was speaking to. Behavior notwithstanding, we are children of God, and there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. And that's because God is the ultimate parent. our Creator. And no matter what we do or where we go, God always loves us and desires for us to be in relationship with God. No matter how far we drift or how much we try to do life our way, God stands ready to welcome us back into the comfort and love of home which we only tried to run away from. This is Paul's message to the Gentiles and the Jews, to the politicians, to the holier-than-thou religious folks. We are all children of God. And my friends, we are all loved no more or no less than the other. So Paul's saying, might as well get used to living with one another and to be loved by God. And maybe that'll rub off on how you treat others. And that's what we can do something about. This love, this amazing, this unconditional love we receive from God, this love given freely and to every single one of us, we can share that kind of love, especially with those who yearn for that kind of love. What would the world be like if someone went out of their way to love Travis? To tell Travis that in spite of his parents' rejection and judgment, he was loved. And not just to tell Travis that he was loved, but to show Travis he was loved. Perhaps the Travises of the world would embrace themselves in life-affirming ways that would release the bondage of rejection. Travis, whoever and wherever you are, maybe in here, you're just like me. You are a child of God. What would the world be like if someone gave Susan a sense of belonging? To tell Susan that although her parents' relationship was beyond repair, she could learn and grow from those failures and would come to understand how precious her life is. In a way that would leave Susan confident in her deserving of wholeness and completion. Susan, wherever you are, you're just like me. You are a child of God. What would the world be like if Donald could reach out in vulnerability of the difficult task of parenting and admit to the challenges and find emotional depth in order to share what he missed from his own father? How might Donald's children break the cycle of shoulda, coulda, wouldas? Donald, wherever you are, you're just like me. You are a child of God. What would the world be like if Ellen could find her own voice and her own conscience? What would the world be like, friends, if Ellen could be authentic and admit that things in her family and her life are far from perfect, and yet be loved and be receptive to God's love in our imperfections? Ellen, you're just like me. You are a child, an imperfect child of God. We cannot do one thing about God loving us, and thanks be to God for that. But we can and we must do something about our love for God and our love for God's children. And every single one of us have one thing and one name in common: child of God. May we and Travis and Susan and Donald and Ellen and may we embrace that precious name and that precious love. Friends, I want you to turn to someone near you and find out their name if you don't know it. And I want you to say, Kenny, you are a child of God.
Marcia, you are a child of God.
Kenny, pen, you have a pen. Here we go.
No matter what people say or think about you, you are a child, you are a child of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.